This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, everyone, for joining. This is a DTA call taking place on the 8th of August at 20:00 hours. I hope this will be our last call. The intent is really to run through the DTA SLE and if possible, if we could bring up on the screen, this is the spreadsheet. Is it possible to use the other PDF, the one I circulated this evening, just because it has the flow chart of process flow? That might be helpful because...
Well, the email that you sent me, I was not able to read any attachment. If you can go ahead and resend me an email.
Okay, it was on DTA list as well.
Okay.
Was that, did that work?
All right.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so if possible, the intent now is really to just make sure we've captured everything according to the SLE document we approved at the end of last year, and to make sure that all members of the working group are happy. And then the next proposal, if we can sign off on this document this evening, it'll be presented to the next CWG meeting as being approved by the working group once all issues have been addressed. There are a couple of issues still outstanding, and when they have been addressed this evening, I hope we can ratify the document. It'll go to CWG for approval, and then I understand it'll form part of the naming agreement that ICANN and PTI, the new IANA, will enter into. So as Natalie is just working through trying to find the document, I would like to take this opportunity to thank IANA for the good work they have done. They've been very responsive in addressing our concerns. I'm just really wanting to make sure that all aspects of the document we discussed have been addressed, and if any members have any concerns. The issues that still seem to be pending, I'm just referring to this document, brilliant. So if we could go to page, let me just go to the first one, I think it's 17 of the document. I am told that the effective breach conditions, in other words, what percentage ICANN, IANA proposed to consider to be a breach, for the time to lodge a request into our the root zone management system once it's received by email. I wonder if we could have a percentage for that service, please. That is, in other words, within 3 days, email requests will be entered into the system. I appreciate there haven't been any. It would just be good to have a threshold that everyone would be happy with on that area, please. IANA?
Hi, it's Kim here. I think Natalie had the Excel spreadsheet up, and that had a value of 95% in it.
Thank you very much. Okay, so 95%. Are all members of the working group happy with that? I don't see any hands, so if we can push on to the next issue, which is... category 2, page 18, I think that's probably also 95%, which again is relating to routine updates, not impacting, so routine updates for category 2, not impacting root zone file, time for lodging the request to the root zone management received by email. Is that 95% as well, Kim?
That's correct.
Thank you. the time to return results for technical checks following submission of requests via the automated submission process, nothing has been entered for that. Can we have some numbers for that, please?
Perhaps you can help us understand why you feel numbers are necessary here.
So when we were designing this original document and you were consulting and working closely with Adam, you'd mentioned that technical checks were undertaken for example, names, mail server checks to make sure that when someone was wanting to change their Whois records, that the mail server existed and the email account worked that they were proposing to move to. And it's highlighted also in the diagram that the flow diagram is in technical, is in box 5, which references technical checks there as well. So this is nothing to do with root zone change. These are technical checks we understand you make for the Whois or contact information updates. And that's what we seem to be missing.
So that's in the next section of the table called contact confirmation.
Okay. So just as we, just to deal with this technical checks, are you saying there are no technical checks that you undertake for this element?
There's no discrete technical check phase for non-root zone changes. There's constraints on the web form, like putting in, you know, invalid entries into a field, like you can't put letters into a phone number field, that kind of thing. But that's not a discrete test. I mean, it won't let you submit the form until you enter in a valid entry. But beyond that, you know, the validity checking of email addresses is done by sending an email to the email address and ensuring that they had received delivery by having them respond with a confirmation.
Okay, cool. So just to wrap this one up, you're saying that there are no technical checks done, and therefore there's nothing to monitor.
Correct.
Okay. I am just reading now, if I may. Lisa's written, Kim is correct to say that when the table calls out technical checks, the table was describing the suite of technical checks for changes in the root zone. No, Elise, it was actually reference was made to non-root zone changes, where when we were doing this table originally, we were led to believe there were some technical checks, but we now understand that there are no technical checks, and so this is no longer applicable, rather than not completed. So that's great. Unless anyone else has any comments on this issue, we can move on to the next. I don't see any comments, so let's press on. Supplementary technical checks. I understand this is where something has failed the first technical check, and you've effectively put it in a loop. We ought to have some times for that, please.
Sorry, what are we looking at? The same.
We're on page 19 now. Apologies, page 19.
Just waiting for the Adobe Connect. This is the same issue, no?
I don't think so. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, we're on page 19. Is this where you wanted to go?
Please. So these are supplementary technical checks, which I understand where something is pulled because it requires manual checking. There are an extra set of supplemental checks that you undertake. If I refer to the diagram that you gave us originally, I think it is.
Sorry. So if I may, on the screen is page 19. Trang in the chat is suggesting it might be on page 20. But if it's supplemental technical checks for non-technical changes, then it's the same concern that we just discussed, which is that there is no supplemental, I mean, the supplemental technical check phase is literally a repeat of the technical check phase. It's the same logic.
Okay. Okay, Jay Daly, please. Okay, cool. So, if we can press on to any other questions. I've just lost my place there. 19, technical checks, supplementary technical checks. Category 3, so I think they're all the same, aren't they? Yes. Time for root zone change we published following completion. All right, so time for root zone changes to be published following completion of validation and review by IANA functions operator. So that is how long is it in with you before you pass it on to VeriSign for VeriSign to publish it. This is, again, we're on the right page, Natalie.
So that's not what this category defines. This defines the time between when we give it to VeriSign to when it appears in the root zone.
And that's 3 days.
Well, I can't see how it's applicable because this category, by definition, is non-root zone change.
Oh, so we're still in the same section, are we? I apologize if that's the case. So, okay, so all right, if we're still in the same area, I will, I don't know why I've been given this then. Okay, so let's move out of that then. Let's move on to the next one, which is category 3, creating or transferring a GTLD. Again, it's where requests are logged by email. They probably aren't, but do we have 95% for that as well?
Yes, we've nominated 95% across all the categories for this measurement.
Okay, so that completes that one. And let's scroll down and see what else there is. Category 4, creating or transferring a CCTLD. Time for lodging a change request is owned by ICANN staff on behalf of requests sent by email. Is that 95%?
Correct.
That's on page 21, 95%. Thank you. Third-party review. This is on page 22. Third-party review of request by ICANN Board of Directors or in other independent verification parties. That hasn't been completed, apparently. Which page are we on? We're on page 23 now. Jay, is there a reason for that? What is the reason? How, if a party has already signed up to ICANN making the decision, I appreciate many CCs have not signed up to ICANN making the decision, but where they have, shouldn't there be a time in which the ICANN board would be expected to ratify the process?
Well, the definition of this category was that this is all third-party review, which by definition is beyond IANA's control to affect. So the assumption here was that we measure but don't have an SLA, because if you go back to the principles of the SLAs, none would be incumbent upon IANA when, you know, it's outside of its control. Now, I think the very specific issue of the ICANN Board of Directors approving delegation, redelegation reports, it's not clear to me that that practice will continue post-transition. But nonetheless, this also includes things like where countries have elected to have, you know, some government approval of change requests that is independent of the typical process, something that they've opted into. But fundamentally, this is third-party time. It's time, by definition, that's outside of our control.
Okay, I'd just be curious if anyone else has any view on that. Jay, please.
Thank you. Yeah, I've gone back and checked the approved and agreed version of this with the blanks in there, and that wording hasn't changed since that, and those blanks are in there. I know we, in the previous conversation, when we had the data, I came away with an assumption that this was excluded from it. But going back now to look at, I mean, the base version of the document we're working on now, that's always been in there since we agreed and approved it. So I'm wondering how we've got in. Sorry, can anybody else not hear me?
We can hear you. You're a bit faint, but we can hear you.
Sorry, I'm just a very long way away, obviously, maybe connect up like that. I don't know how we've managed to get in this pickle where we have something that has been agreed up until now would be in the document. Then we've had a conversation about it being excluded, and I can't find, I believe there is some authoritative text somewhere that talks about why this is excluded, but I can't find it now. And of course we have this base document which has always had these in there. And finally, my own personal view is that if we don't have these in here, then there is a problem because TLDs don't know what to expect when it comes to end-to-end processing time by ICANN.
So just to really echo that concern, this is a service level expectation document, and the intent was that registry managers would have a document to refer to for how long issues were effectively to be dealt with by ICANN IANA. And so I understand and appreciate it's not, as it were, a breach condition, and I have no problem if one wants just to leave the breach fields empty, but I think it would be helpful to have an indication of expectation management of how long something would remain either at the ICANN Board of Directors or within an independent body. Elise, please.
Yes, I was just going to ask if this was something, since it is outside of the IANA department's control and potentially PTI would be reporting on it, but probably is unable to control ICANN Board of Directors or independent outside verification parties, if this could be something that we could take up with the CSC and potentially drive it through the CSC post-transition.
I think it would be very sensible to take it up with the CSC post-transition just to make sure that things are happening in a timely manner, because the role of the CSC is to more or less keep this document or keep the SLE and adjust the SLE because it's a living document. My question is, wouldn't it be prudent to have a service level expectation for those parties wanting to have a time frame specified as to how long they have to wait for the ICANN board to make a decision? There is no breach condition. I understand that it's not specifically relating to PTI's performance, but it does, to a degree, encourage PTI to produce the reports in a timely manner for the Board of Directors or other independent parties to actually come to a determination or come to an endorsement. And I agree with Kim's perspective that in some or the majority of instances post-transition, that the ICANN board will not be involved in this area, which is also very prudent. But the question I'm asking is it possible for us to have an indicative time in this field just so that any registry manager knows how long one should wait?
So I would agree that it would be good if we could name a time, but I was under the impression from the documents and the principles that were set out by the design team that we would be only identifying times if we had data to back them up. And we don't have the data to back this up. And we also had gone back and historically looked at collecting data for other things, but we don't have data to back up this one particular element. So I was thinking that it would possibly be best in collaboration with the CSC to come up with the service level agreement that the CSC would like to see made, and then we could work on collecting that data.
Jay?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, Lisa, I don't agree with that last point because we've, when it came to the other parts of CCTLD allegations, the line just above this, we didn't have data, so that's taken from the NTIA contract. So I think we've established the principle that where there are gaps in the data, we're trying to find something reasonable that IANA is happy with. Now, I think that we've got a problem here with this particular one because, in my mind, third-party review or decision-making by ICANN is very different by any independent verification party because the independent verification party is part of the external process that goes around this, but the ICANN Board of Directors is part of the internal process. And I think we perhaps ought to consider how this one is split. Now, I don't think that we have the ability to go and split this now within this within DTA. But sorry, I'm moving my microphone here. What I am, I believe there is some authoritative text somewhere about third-party review, specifically by the ICANN Board of Directors. And I wonder if anybody knows where that is at all. What other text we refer to, because we're talking now generally about the principles, but I think there's something more specific to that.
Elise or Kim or Trang, anyone at ICANN?
I don't know where to point to the authoritative text that Jay is mentioning, but perhaps, Jay, you could propose what you think a realistic time should be, and then that could be discussed. It could be put in this document, and then we could just move forward with the CSC to see how that fits with them once they're in place.
Okay. Is there, I don't know how often the ICANN board meets, but what this effectively ought to say is that it should be agreed at the next ICANN board meeting, one way or the other. And I'm only in this talking about the ICANN board of directors, not the independent verification party, because I think that one's a bit more tricky to unpick, if the independent verification parties are appointed by the external parties in this process, then that's an external thing. There may be independent verification parties that are appointed for internal reasons, in which case they need to be part of an internal. Does that make sense?
I think to say for the next ICANN board meeting, it depends on when a delegation or a redelegation is completed, because there's a requirement from the ICANN board that they receive all proposals for resolutions, et cetera, a certain number of days, actually it's weeks, in advance of their meeting. So you have that intermediary period. So it would have to be, I guess, more as, you know, a timeline that considered that intermediary period. So maybe it would be like 30 days or 60 days or something of that nature.
Kim, please.
Yeah. I was actually just going to suggest 60 days. On the assumption that there is no breach condition for the reasons that were described, I mean, you know, the basic workflow for the board of directors is that staff complete their analysis and effectively we believe it's ready to implement. We send it to the secretary of the board. As Elise noted, I think at the moment it needs to be at least 21 days before a board meeting. So if it's less than that, then it immediately goes onto the agenda of the following board meeting. On average, the board seems to meet every 1 or 2 months. So the most pathological case is it could be up to 3 months before it goes before the board. In the most optimistic case, it might be as little as 3 weeks. It's really a wide range, and it really solely revolves around the calendar of the board and when a request just happens to be ready. I'm okay with 60 days, but I think that this is an area ripe for reevaluation post-transition, simply for the fact that the notion of board review, I think, is something that the community will want to review and revisit post-transition, and I think that we will have better data moving forward to guide that discussion.
Okay, so thank you. I think it's sensible for those parties that wish to have ICANN board of directors form an opinion on their suitability to run a registry. I think it's sensible to have a time frame. There are no breach conditions. 60, 90 days, that's fine. If you're happy with 60 days, let's put 60 days in, but leave the two other field or the three other fields empty, and then there are no breach conditions. But it does mean that it has a time frame for those parties that are seeking ICANN board to have oversight of the TLD. Is everyone happy with that? Rather than empty, can we please say? Okay. Jay has said, rather than empty, can they please say intentionally left blank? That would be very sensible, just to make sure that any fields that have, I mean, those fields are intentionally left blank. Moving on, so it's 60 days and intentionally left blank for the other fields. Moving on through the rest of the document, I think that's it. And maybe we should also say 60 days subject to further review or something, because as Kim rightly says, the board post-transition may not be proactively involved in this. So I would suggest 60 days subject to review. I think that's, as far as I'm concerned, all the issues that my staff had told me were outstanding. I believe now we have a completed document that was approved by the CWG. If I'm mistaken, please raise your hand, let me know. Elise and Kim, your hand is up. I'm assuming they're old hands. If there's anything else that needs to be addressed, please raise your hands now. Any other comments on this service level agreement, please? I can't see any hands. I think we are in a position to have a vote on this document as presented, and I appreciate Jeff Newman is not on the call, but I will reach out to him once this the final document is put together, and I'll invite ICANN staff to help facilitate that, please. But if I may, just go around each member of the DTA working group asking if you approve, abstain, or object to this document going forward as the service level expectation document for inclusion in the naming contract between PTI and ICANN. That would be wonderful. And then, as I mentioned, the plan is to present this to the CWG at the next meeting, which is on the Thursday, the 11th of August. and we will have done our job. And then after that, assuming that there aren't any problems at the CWG, this group, DTA, SLE Working Group, effectively will be disbanded. So, Elaine, could I ask for your comments, please?
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I approve.
Thank you. Jay?
Yes, I approve as well.
Thank you. Patricio?
Yes, I approve.
Thank you. I see that both Jeffs are not on the call. So what I propose to do in the next, well, this evening, before I go off today, I will write to them just asking if they approve the document. I approve the document as presented and discussed this evening. And then, was Jeff dropped out? I think he has. I don't see Jeff on the call. Jeff Newman isn't there. But Eckhouse, I'm not sure if he was on. But I will chase both the Jeffreys this evening, and I hope to have a response, a favorable response, and be in a position to present this to the CWG on Thursday. So thank you all very much, and again, I would like to thank Kim for working very constructively with us over the period, and Elise in recent times for her help. And, of course, the ICANN staff for facilitating this. Very grateful. And I'm assuming that the CWG will not have any questions. If they do, I'll do my best to answer. If they have specific things that need further consultation on, I'll come back to the group. But I'm hoping that our work is done in this area and this group will be disbanded. Before we close the call, can I ask if there are any matters of any other business, please? I don't see any. So thank you all very, very much. I do appreciate it. It's been great working with you. And let's see if the other two approve as well. So thank you very much. Have a good evening. Thanks. Jay, sorry. All the best. Bye-bye.